Good morning, Church of Glen Shaw Valley.
Good morning.
Last week, we studied the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And in that time, Dr. Luke mentioned two things. First of all, he mentioned that he opened the eyes of the apostles and the disciples so that they could understand God's word through the scripture. He also told them to stay in the city until he could send the Holy Spirit, which would continue their education in the scripture and continues to fund our knowledge of the scripture as well. So please listen to Acts 2, 1 through 8 for your own personal message. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of flame that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because they each heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each of them here... Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" I believe God blesses the reading and hearing of his scripture.
Amen. Thank you, William. You know, in junior church, they teach the kids to say the Apostles' Creed. So when I saw this example, a Sunday school teacher taught her class to recite the Apostles' Creed by giving each child one phrase to learn. When the day came for the class to perform, they began very beautifully. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," one child said. Next, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." Everything's going smoothly. Perfectly in came the next child, and he said, "He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead." Then there was some silence. The next line was to be, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." But there was only silence. Dead silence. Finally, a little girl spoke up and said, "The little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is not here today." Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. We got God and Jesus. And who is this Holy Spirit fellow we've tacked on to the end of the Trinity? Well, welcome to this celebration of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. The Holy Spirit is just as relevant to our lives as it was to the first century believers, because the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in our lives. You have to excuse me today. I don't normally say this. I'm having a third day of a sinus infection, so I'm having some trouble. I may end up cutting this short. No hallelujahs. British newspaper columnist Bernard Levin wrote, "Countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire together, and non-material blessings such as a happy family and they lead lives of quiet desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there's a hole inside of them That no matter how much food and drink that they might pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets that they have, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends that they parade around the edges of their lives, their lives still ache. Do you know what he's talking about? Do you have that ache in your life, like something is missing, something is not just right, something is not whole? At the center of life, that void that needs filling. And I believe there's millions, billions of people maybe who have that void in their life. And this is what the Holy Spirit is all about, to help fill that void that is in our lives. The Holy Spirit came upon the church on the day of Pentecost, and the first disciples of Jesus were all Jewish and celebrated the Jewish festivals. And Pentecost was a feast that celebrated the giving of God's law to the people through Moses on Mount Sinai. For Christians, Pentecost became the celebration of God's gift of the Holy Spirit to his people. Before his ascension, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Don't go out and be trying to minister yet before the Spirit came. But they didn't have a clue what he was really talking about, and they didn't question what he said. After all, they had already watched him die. They'd watched him come back to life. They'd watched him ascend into heaven. If the Lord said wait, they were going to wait. Now it's Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's ascension into heaven, or after his resurrection. The city was full of visitors who had come to worship at the sacred temple. Jesus had not told the disciples exactly when the Spirit would come. Scripture says when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, however, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and separated and came to rest on each one of them. Then says the author of Acts, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Notice that they were not speaking in unknown tongues. A practice we sometimes think of as being Pentecostal. They were speaking in known tongues, known languages of other nations. The really miraculous thing is they were speaking in these languages that they had not studied, had never spoken before. So all of a sudden, speaking, if it had been French, they would have been speaking perfect French or Italian or whatever. And I started thinking about this. The difference in languages, if I were to leave, and when I go on my vacation this summer, if I were to go down back to South Carolina and preach one of the Sundays and invite me into the pulpit, and I got into the pulpit and start telling them, you uns need to go downtown and get some pierogies downtown before it's time to see the Steelers, and need to be sure to red up the house. It'd be like I was speaking a foreign language to them. You need an interpreter for that. Kind of how it was when I first came to Pittsburgh. Some of the words we had to interpret from one another. Or what if I just started speaking in another language today? All of a sudden, if I broke out in perfect German, which I don't know any German words, or Spanish, I know a few, or French, I know a few. What if I did that? Some of you would think, well, the pastor's gone loco. He's finally snapped. We knew it was coming. We saw it. It's been very evident. It was coming. We've been preparing for it for a while. Or he's drunk. Don't bother my bottle. You might go home telling jokes at my expense. Maybe it would be deserved. But imagine if while I was preaching, this room began to shake and a wind came through here like you had never seen or heard, almost like a tornado had come through. And then I began to speak in another language. And there were people in here from another country, and they understood that language. Maybe there was someone here visiting because of an international day, and there was someone here from Germany and Italy and France, and they didn't speak a word of English, but I was starting to speak in each one of their languages, and they heard it. Now that would be a miracle. And you would go home and say, "What in the world happened?" That's what it was like on the day of Pentecost. These people were standing around, and all of a sudden, people who were unlearned, people who could not speak their language, began to speak in their tongue, and they could understand what they were saying. A miracle, a really wild thing to happen. God arranged for the Holy Spirit to come down, not just on any day, but a day when people from all over the world were coming to Jerusalem for a holy day, a pilgrimage. People from all over were there, different languages, celebrating. And when they heard the sound of the wind blowing and the disciples speaking, the crowd was totally bewildered because each one heard speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they ask, "Aren't all of these speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears it in our own language? How? How does that happen?" They were witnessing a miraculous event. No wonder thousands of them gave their lives to the Lord on that very day. Pentecost is something sometimes known as the birthday of the church, and Pentecost is, has at its very center the coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives. The Holy Spirit is sometimes described as the most misunderstood person of the Trinity. And it's not, I mean, it's a pretty valid reason, I think. It is sometimes easier to visualize God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son because we see them in human terms. We know what a father looks like. We know basically what a son looks like. We think of Jesus as a baby, then a boy, then a man. We can visualize that. We understand that. But when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, it gets different, because the Holy Spirit we talk about, the Holy Spirit is natural forces or natural objects. Totally different. The wind that blows where it will. Violent, mighty, rushing wind. Elsewhere it's compared to tongues of fire or a dove descending from heaven. Like it's not anything to do with human, where God the Father and God the Son had that humanness to them. Here's what we need to know about the Holy Spirit. It is God present with us today. It is that part of the Godhead that fills the empty hole in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us make sense of our lives and everything that's going on, and God's purpose for our lives in this world. Life is confusing. Life sometimes just does not make sense. We have good days, we think everything's going to work out just right, and it does. And beautifully, and suddenly out of the blue, we get a phone call, and our life is turned completely upside down. And we didn't see it coming. So we go to the Bible and we try to get some guidance, but it's like it's still written. We're looking at it in the original Greek or the original Hebrew, and we don't understand it. It doesn't speak to us. And then we keep trying. It's difficult, and we read the passage maybe several times. And then that text, all of a sudden, we're praying to God, help us understand it. And it begins to be enlightened to us. Like, oh, that's what it means. I see it now for the first time. That, my friends, is the power of the Holy Spirit opening up the Scriptures to you. I still go back and read the Bible and see things that I've never seen before. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. And I've read completely through the Bible 5 or 6 times. It's like God whispered the meaning into our ears. This is what it means. That is the working of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Tom Long gave a wonderful illustration, I think, of this. He was a member of a rock and roll band in high school, was fascinated, especially with blues master Jimmy Reed. He was a legend in the 50s and 60s, playing the harmonica and guitar. He was a sharecropper's son and brought the rhythm and blues music of the Delta Mississippi music, made it popular in the mainstream. He had a significant impact on Elvis Presley and on the Rolling Stones. There was a very interesting story behind Jimmy Reed's records. If you listen very careful to his records, you can hear like somebody whispering in the background right before he sings the words. Said Jimmy got so into playing the music, he would forget his own words. So in the recordings, his wife would stand right behind him and whisper the words into his ear before he sang. If you listen real carefully, you can hear her doing it some. And I think that's a good illustration of what the Holy Spirit does to us. If we'll sit quietly or we'll listen and we'll try to study, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. This for the Christian is the task of the Holy Spirit. It is God whispering to us, giving us comfort and encouragement and helping us make sense out of our lives when they don't make sense. Paul wrote in Romans 8:16, "The Spirit of God testifies that with our spirit that we are children of God." In other words, the Holy Spirit then quietly whispers into our heart who we are and that He loves us and cares for us. Furthermore, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. Jesus, before He ascended, gave the Great Commission. That's what we call it. They were to go into all the world to make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that Jesus had taught them. That was going to be hard for them to do. Even to remember it, and then to have the courage and the power to do it when they knew the government didn't want them to do it. The religious establishment did not want them to do it. An impossible task for them. But Christ made them a promise in Matthew 28, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Christ would be with them through the presence and the power and the anointing of His Holy Spirit working in their lives. That's why they were still in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and stayed with them. The Holy Spirit helps us become all that God has created us to be. One of the images used in the Scripture to help us understand the work of the Holy Spirit is that of fire. You remember tongues of fire appeared over the disciples' head on the day of Pentecost. The story that comes from the old frontier days about three women who were members of a Bible study, and they were reading about the Spirit being a refining fire. They didn't understand what it meant. So one of the women volunteered to go to a silversmith shop. She didn't tell him why she was there, but she started asking him about it, what this meant. So the silversmith explained to her how he did it. He said, "You want to be sure to put the silver into the hottest part of the fire, the very hottest part. And all the impurities of the silver will then be burned away. But you have to watch it at all times to make sure that it's not in there too long. If it's in there too long, it will be ruined." The woman was fascinated by this explanation, and she said, "How do you know when it's done and you don't keep it too long that it'll be ruined?" He said, "It's very, very simple. When you can see your reflection in it, you know it is done." I think it's the same way with God. God desires to see His reflection in our lives, reflecting back to Him. And other people desire to see Him in us. It'll help them to be Christian. After Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, God sent the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, bearing witness with our spirit to help us to be restored to a right relationship with God. And all of this is what we mean when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. It is God attempting to fill the hole in our lives. It is God helping us make sense of our lives and understanding God's purpose for us. It is God giving us the power to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. And it is God working in our lives, all of our lives, helping us to become what God has created us to be. Persons in whom He and others can see God's reflection. May God bless you. Amen.